Matthew chapter 13. If you have your Bibles there, if you wish to follow Matthew chapter 13. It says from verse 47, but I just want to start just a couple of verses before that on verse 44, because I'll refer to that in my talk. So Matthew 13, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. That's his disciples. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. I'm going to start with a story. Rather a whimsical fishing story, in fact. There was this young woman, she was preparing for her wedding, and she spent weeks, as you do, working out the final logistical details. And as she worked on getting her wedding dress ready for the big day, she started to think more deeply about the significance of the event before her. So as her mother helped her get zipped up, she decided to take the opportunity to ask for any tidbits of profound wisdom. Mum, she said, can you give me any advice that will help me as this marriage begins? The mother thought for a moment and finally said, yes, I can. Here's a really important lesson I wished I had learned a little earlier in my own marriage to your father. And it's this. If you give a man a fish, you can feed him for a day. But if you teach him to fish, you can get rid of him for the whole weekend. Yeah. In Luke chapter 5, we read Luke's account of the call of the first disciples and how we always have to be ready to offer ourselves to Christ so that when he calls us to the deeper waters, that's where the big fish are, we can follow him to those places of blessing. And in Matthew chapter 10, we read his account of the calling of the first disciples and how important the most important mission is the same as Christ's mission. That is to tell the people about the kingdom of God that is drawing ever nearer, and to invite us all to be part of that mission. In Matthew's Gospel, we look at one aspect of the ministry of Jesus, spoken in a parable by Jesus himself. And the parable we just read is known as the parable of the nets and fish. And it can be disconcerting to some, not the kind of thing we always want to hear. We want to believe we've got it made and there is no chance of us being thrown into a furnace. And yet that is the possibility that Jesus lays out here. As with all parables, Jesus is taking a familiar scene and using it to say something about the kingdom of God. So just for a moment, let's focus on the familiar situation that Jesus was lifting up in this parable. Remember then that many of Jesus' disciples were fishermen and that much of his ministry was done in the area around the Sea of Galilee. When Jesus talked about fish or fishing, the people listening knew what he meant. So if we just try and step back to the first century and look at what Jesus was referencing when he told this parable of the nets and the fish. First century is a long way back, folks, is it not? Commercial fishing of the first century, not unlike commercial fishing today, consisted of dropping large nets off the side of the boat, waiting for the nets to fill up, then hauling them in. I guess the procedure is a little different today. Such a fishing technique means that you'll not only catch the kind of fish you're fishing for, but probably also some fish you don't really want. Now, in Jesus' day, there were primarily three kinds of fish that populated the Sea of Galilee. There were sardines, and a kind of fish that is now called St. Peter's fish, and then another kind, the final kind, a sort of catfish called a barbel. Among Jewish people, sardines and St. Peter's fish were considered kosher, and kosher means satisfying the Jewish law, that is, they were genuine. But the barbel was considered an unclean fish. The kosher fish, that is, the sardines and St. Peter's fish, would be put in baskets and kept, but the unclean fish, the barbels, were thrown away. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Probably about now you might be thinking, yeah, just as I suspected, Christ is going to throw out the bad fish. So I need to be sure that I am one of the good fish. And you're correct. That is certainly an extremely important message in this parable, but there is an even more important message that becomes clear when Jesus explains the parable. And just before we look at that, we just need a bit of background about what is happening here as Jesus shares this parable with his disciples. Now, Jesus' telling of the parable of the nets and the fish is the last of a long line of parables that Jesus has told in this part of Matthew to reveal more and more about what the kingdom of God is like. The two parables that immediately precede the one about the fish are the parables of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl. And these three parables together form a sort of a grouping, with the first two describing the greatness of God's kingdom and the final one describing how it will be made that way. And Jesus begins by saying that the kingdom of God is so wonderful that it's like a great treasure hidden in a field or a pearl of the most beautiful quality. It's so amazing that you go and sell everything in order to buy the field or the pearl because you know that there is nothing in life greater or of more value. And the kingdom of God is that way because, as Jesus taught us over and over again, it is a kingdom of justice, mercy, peace and love. Doesn't take much to understand that in order for God's kingdom to be this way, though, it has to be populated by people who live and embody the same values of the kingdom. And so Jesus tells this final parable of the nets and the fish, where he says, in essence, any fish that is unclean, any person that does not embody the kingdom values, is thrown out. This is where the second important lesson of the parable comes into play. So what does Jesus say about who will be sorting the good and the bad in the end? Does he say the fishermen will do the sorting? No. Does he say that the disciples will be doing the sorting? No. Jesus makes it a point to say that at the end of the age, the angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and the good from the bad. In other words, God alone is the arbiter of good and evil, not us. Now, sometimes perhaps that's a hard message for us as Christians to hear, or maybe it's just hard for anybody to hear, because we like to be in control. We like to be the holders of all knowledge and the decider of all decisions. I guess that's why we like remote controls. Yeah. We like to make decisions. We like to have total control. And here Jesus is saying, this one isn't yours to control. The message can be difficult for us to hear. And The message is so difficult for us to hear, in fact, that we don't often hear it, and particularly those of us in the church. We draw lines based on sometimes denomination, or how sometimes somebody was or wasn't baptised, or which version of the Bible is the official correct version, or what kind of music is best, and whether or not certain instruments can be used, and on and on. We think it's easy to distinguish who's in and who's out. There's a story of a woman who died and went up to heaven. I hope that's my story of a man. Of course, when the woman arrived at the pearly gate, she was greeted by St. Peter. St. Peter opened up the books, checked the records, and found that indeed the woman had a place in heaven. So St. Peter opened the gate and escorted the woman inside her place, toward her place in paradise. As the pair walked along, the woman noticed many doors all around them. And she was surprised when all of a sudden, at one point, St. Peter turned around and hushed her. Once they had passed the area and St. Peter indicated to her that it was okay to speak again, the woman asked, "St. Peter, why do we have to be quiet back there?" St. Peter looked at the woman and said matter-of-factly, "Well, that back there was the room full of people who think they are the only ones in heaven." Maybe we don't like to think that we might have to share the kingdom of God with people who are different from us, or people who don't agree with us, or those we don't much care for. We draw lines and try to be the sorters because we want to be able to cast judgment on people who are different from us. Perhaps we want to be able to say that we are the ones who are right. We want to know that the people we don't like will get what's coming to them. Besides, it's a lot easier to call down fire from heaven on your enemies than to love them. But God's grace is immense, and we cannot ever think or pretend to act like we know God's grace is working or will ever work in someone else's life. Through this parable of the nets and the fish, Jesus is telling disciples then and now that we don't get to decide who's in and who's out. Our only concern should be to be good fish. Our task is not to try and take control of a situation that is not ours to control, but instead to allow God's grace to take root and to realise that the response of others is their responsibility, never ours. You know, whenever we go fishing, we choose our bait and we throw our line into the water. Well, some do. But whatever happens after that is beyond our control. We can't decide that a rainbow trout is going to bite our line and we'll be frying up trout fillets for dinner. Would be nice though, wouldn't it? Nor can we make a 10 kilo largemouth bass latch on so that we can be the one that weighs the bass and get the prize. What happens at the other end of that fishing line is not up to us. And the same is true with the kingdom of God. Jesus' message in this parable is clear. Don't worry about everyone else. Just be a good fish. You can't control who's in and who's out. You can't control who likes you, nor who follow God in Christ Jesus. The best we can do is to love our neighbours and love our enemies, and then we have to let God sort the rest out. Christ our King has said, "Follow me." That's how our fishing journey began, with a simple command from Jesus to follow and become fishers of people. This is where our focus should be, where indeed it has to be. We just throw the bait out and let Jesus take care of the rest. We have to walk the walk, not trying to look around and see what everyone else is doing. Just be good fish and with action say that Jesus is King and that is who we follow. He is who we follow. Walk the walk, talk the talk, and if you have to, swim the swim. Bless you each.